Let us turn to our scripture text. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 28. And I shall read. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lack, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. May God bless the reading of his holy an infallible word.
I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the book of Revelation, the last chapter of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ promised, surely I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. And indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ will come quickly. If you are a good student of the Word of God, and if you have read just only one chapter in Matthew chapter 24, if you have read that chapter, you will realize, you can see the signs that Christ spoke or prophesied regarding the last days when he will come. And then if you see that and you see what is happening in this world, and you will know that the Lord is coming soon. Are you looking forward to it? I think so. I myself look forward to it, because this world is getting worse and worse, we know that. And then what a wonderful thing to be caught up. When Christ comes, all of us will be caught up. And He comes at this very moment. I pray that this hall will be empty. There's no soul here in this hall. All of us will pass through this ceiling and meet the Lord in the air. How wonderful it is. And then we will not be looking up to Him, also be looking at one another. What a glorious and great gathering up here on earth. Are you not looking for that great day? Wonderful. And I hope this blessed hope that you and I have, and it is true, it will happen. It will happen. And I believe with my heart it will happen soon. Don't say that it will happen another 100 years or 1,000 years. I believe that it will happen soon because of what Scriptures has revealed. Then let us not be despondent or despairing, and be encouraged, because this is true. And because of this, whatever problems that we have and troubles that we have, sickness or whatever, this truth may encourage us and strengthen us. Even Paul himself said that this truth make us be strong and steadfast in the Lord. Each Sunday, many Christians all go to church. Like all of us, we come to church. What kind of attitude when you come to church? Some come, and because they love the Lord, because they are Christians, and they must come every Sunday to worship God together with the other fellow Christians. And they would come early, they would prepare themselves on Saturday and would come early, about at least 15 minutes before or half an hour. And they come, they want to meet fellow Christians and smile at them and encourage them and even ask about how's their week. And then they'll be looking forward to other visitors that come to the church, and they will go forward and talk to them and welcome them. And then together they worship the Lord, and when they come, they sing with all their hearts. There's joy in their hearts. There's joy in their voices. And they praise the Lord. And yes, and the whole room will vibrate with their singing and praising. And truly God will be very pleased. And God will be present, be in the presence. Because God says he resides, God dwells in the praises of his people. God wants us to praise him. God doesn't want to tell us that you must praise me. No, God wants us to praise him. It's meant that way, that we loved him and praised him. And when we do that, he will dwell in our presence. But some come to the church as if that it is their duty. Since I'm a Christian, it's my duty to come to church. And so they attend church and they don't prepare themselves. They know that Sunday they have to come to church. Never mind, I come. Even though they drag their feet, even though they come late, 15 minutes or 5 minutes late. But they come. Because why? Because they say they are Christian. A Christian must come to church. And so they come to church, and they come late, they take their seat, and they go through the motion. You know, there's the worship leader, they stand up, turn to this hymn, they sing this hymn, and before the chairman say, please be seated, they already seated down already. And so they go through the motions each Sunday. So automatically that every phase of the worship service, they know what to do. They sit down. They don't actually, if there is no worship service, maybe this church know what to do in the next, what's next. And so we take everything just automatically. And then when the service is all over, and they are very glad, and they walk away out. And then if people wish you hello, but they try to leave the church quickly because they have other things to do. Well, there's some people have that attitude. Some Christians have that attitude. So they perform their duties, pay their dues, and everything okay. And then they go and meet people outside, what are you doing this morning? Oh, I went to church. You went to church? Huh? Of course, I'm a Christian, see? So I went to church. I thought of these things. And I think we all need to change our attitudes. If we have the first attitude, which I've just described, that's wonderful. I think everybody should be that. Every Christian should have that kind of attitude. Love the Lord, love to be with His people. And on Sunday especially, to get ready. On Saturday, your heart is so bubbling. I'm waiting to come to church. Guys, going to meet my friends and then worship together. You have that kind of attitude. You want to come, and you don't want to come late. And you can come early. But there are also many who have the attitude of the second type, carefree type. More review ourselves as Christians and coming to church as a duty. I think we need to change. And I think the only to change is one way to understand a bit about the church. What is the church? And then the church relation to me. I am a member of the church. And what is my duty? How should I relate myself to the church? Who is the head of the church? These all need to be addressed. And the only answer we can get is from the Word of God. And I'm sure you do not want to live a humdrum Christian life. But God has given us something in His Word, that the life of a Christian can never be boring. Sometimes we go to, even in Australia, in the churches, you know, young people nowadays like to use the word boring. And they say, go to church. And then they like to go to that kind of church in which when they go in, their whole emotions, their body is all shake. And then they come out all panting and sweating and say, oh, so it's wonderful. And that's not boring. Of course, when you go in, you'll find they all be shouting, dancing, there's a band playing. It's more like an entertainment at one time. And you feel the whole hall electrified. When they come out, they are very tired. And so it lasts for a while, the thing. And at the end of the week, they want another dose. And so when Sunday comes, wow, they want to come early, they line up. And you can see, even in Singapore, they line up. And you have 5 services in that church. And then the first, so they will book. Once you finish, all right, you have to wait for the next service, and the next service, and the next service. In this aspect, maybe I'm for them, that we should line up. I pray one day that all of us, today, one day, before we open the door, many people, all of us will be lining up, plus many other people, lining up to come in. And there should be, because this is the very place that in this pulpit you only preach the Word of God. Only the Word of God faithfully. Faithfully. And those who hear and listen and obey the Word of God that's been preached and taught here will be great Christians. Why are we not? So there again, we need a change. We need to change our thinking. Paul himself said to the Romans that you need to change, renew your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, the perfect will of God. So I have 3 questions. So the first question is, what is the distinction between the church universal and the local church? When you talk about church, many times we think of the building, or sometimes we think of the building, or sometimes we think of the church, a group of body, the local church. But there is another aspect of the church called the church universal. Rest that you have just now turned to, you have read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can you please turn to it again? And let me read to you, just draw your attention to verse 13 of chapter 12. Now it says here, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit." What is the teaching here? The teaching is that every believer is baptized, not by the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. When a person hears the gospel of salvation, believes it, he is sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. When a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, believes it in his heart or her heart, the Holy Spirit comes and seals him. The Holy Spirit indwells him, lives in him. That's what the Bible says. And he is sealed for eternity with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in him becomes his guarantor. And that's the only way that he can go to heaven. And by virtue of that baptism of the Holy Spirit, he becomes a member of the body of Christ permanently. A member of the body of Christ. And this is an analogy of Christ being the head of the church. The body of Christ, of a person. Christ the head, and then the body. And the body is the church. So he belongs to the body of Christ, the church. Christ being the head. Now this believer can be living anywhere in the world. Anywhere. Some people use the term from Timbuktu to Sydney. From one end of the earth to the other end. Anywhere in the world, irrespective of race. When they hear, this person hears the word of God, hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, believes in him, he's sealed with the Holy Spirit, he becomes a member of the church. This church is called the universal church. It is an invisible church. It's not visible in that sense. Not visible as an organization. So where anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes a member of this church. A member of the body of Christ. And this church is not a visible organization. So in a way we call this church an invisible church. Or in the theological terms, the church universal. You can't find this term in the Bible, but we call it the church universal in the sense that anyone, anywhere who hears the word of God, who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, believes in it, in his heart or her heart, he's sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells him and he straight away he's baptized with the Holy Spirit and becomes a member of that church. This is the invisible church. So I believe, I hope that all of us are. If there's anyone here who is not, then you come to believe in Jesus Christ. God loves you, and God sent his Son to die for you because you are a sinner. You have sinned, you acknowledge that, you repent that Christ died for your sin, and you accept Christ in your heart. And you believe sincerely you do that, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, seal you, and become a permanent member of the body of Christ, which is the church. This invisible church, this church universal wherever you are. So in other words, when Christ returns, let's say, when Christ returns today, everyone, member of this church will be taken up wherever they are to meet the Lord in the air. Not only members of True Life Bible Presbyterian Church. Not only that. Not only us. But there are hundreds, millions of them meet together. How wonderful it is. Having said that, so there's another aspect of church. And that is the local church. Some people think that that's not necessary to come to a local church. Why must be a member of a local church? But God's word did not say that. A Christian, so if the first one, the universal church, is the truth, as what the Bible teaches, then I be a member of the universal church is all right. I'm a member of church, I know I'm going to heaven already. So wherever it is, so I can go to church anytime. I can go to this church or another church and this church. One Sunday, one church, another Sunday, another church, and third Sunday, another church, and fourth Sunday, another church, and then the fifth Sunday, I come back to the first church again, and so on and so forth, and I choose which church I want to go. I'm still a Christian because I'm a member of the church. Are you a member of the church? Yes, I'm a member of the universal church, church universal, the invisible church, local church. I'm not interested because a local church full of problems and trouble. And so I don't want to be in the local church. Is this God's teaching, first of all? And so we need to, because there are people who think this way. And worse still, there are churches who think that since in the universal church and then the gospel of Jesus Christ is very important, then the most important thing to do for a church to do, the most important thing to do, is just go and save souls. Preach the gospel and save souls. And that's it. And all the other things are secondary. Did God also say that? Who are we to say that other things are secondary? So we have a proper understanding of church universal is important, and also an understanding of the local church. So we have now gone, I've just explained to you, seen from scriptures, that all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we are made members of the body of Christ, which is the church universal. Visibly, it's not an organization. So it's an invisible church. We are all belong to it. So anyone, if I see, so I go to college, I teach in FEPC. First time I saw so many Africans together, and then they are all Christians. Straight away, I can open my arms and say, my brother in Christ. Yeah, so also from Cambodia, from Vietnam, from anywhere. So they are my brothers in Christ, or my sister in Christ. We are all together. Belong to this church universal. But there's another aspect with the local church, and you'll find in Singapore there's so many churches. Life Presbyterian Church has already, Life Church, when Pastor Reverend Toh was the pastor, was the mother church and gave birth to all the other BP churches here in Singapore. And I say, I think that is no less than 50 of them. And plus the other Chinese congregation, and each of them also rebirth, birth again, some more. So you have the mother church, and then the children church, and then the grandchildren church, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so many local churches in such a small country. So is it necessary to have all of them? Is it God's will that we should have a local church? And then some even criticize that when Reverend Toh comes out of Life Church, and started, when Reverend Toh started this church, why he shouldn't be starting a new church? At his age, he shouldn't be starting a new church. So, is it right for Reverend Toh to start a new church here? So what is the local church? Starting a new church, you see, this people's idea is starting a new church means what? Another place for you, alright, rent this place, and you all come on Sunday, and then worship together, and all loving one another, just smiling at one another, and after the worship service, I'll go home. We are the true live Bible Presbyterian Church. Is that all about this church? Is that all about local church? For that matter, is that all about any other church? And try to increase the number, the bigger it is. And when it's very big, wow, that big, that church is very big. Because it's big in numbers. Is that also what God's will is about the church? So we have to look at what is the local church. If you look at the book, study the book of Acts. Before Paul was converted, he tried to destroy every single local church. He traveled to Damascus in order to destroy the local church there, and arrested the Jews who call themselves Christians and put them in prison. In Acts chapter 8 verse 3, he says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, house churches, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. But after his conversion, Paul's burning purpose was to start local churches. There's a change of his attitude. Chapter 14, verse 21, he says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believe." So Paul, in his missionary journeys, everywhere he ordained elders. There was a church there. Of course, we returned back to the churches, and he ordained elders there. He called a committee here to start a local church there. So as far as God is concerned, the local church is in his will. When Christians everywhere, they are members of the UK Church Universal, wherever they are, in that particular place, there should be a local church. The Christians should gather together for worship as a local church, as an identity, a local church. It must have. Because this is God's will. In other words, a Christian should not be a Robinson Crusoe Christian. You want to live alone. And in the end, Robinson Crusoe found out that he must have Friday too. And we look for Friday, and then Friday came. No Christian can become that way. A freelance Christian, huh? And then go wherever you want, and then so that you see in every church there's problems, there's troubles. Definitely there will be, because we are human beings. We are still in our sin. When we come together, especially when we see one another every week and every week, sometimes during the weekdays, and then we come together, that's bound for us. We talk against one another, we step on each other's feet, and then we quarrel and we fight. There's bound to be strife and conflict. There's bound to be. But that does not mean that we can say, if that is so, I want to be a member of the local church. Because it's God's will that you and I must be a member of a local church. Let's be clear about this thing. You must. Alright, so Paul did that. And then in the second missionary, he went around and tried to strengthen the church. So Paul looked at the church as an institution with program, with plan, with a plan, and with purpose. And then Christ himself, through Paul and all the others who wrote the epistles, have loaded the church with many and manifold responsibilities and tasks. So the local church has many, many things to do. So it's not a boring church. It is a vibrant and very active church, a group of people. At this outset, at this juncture, I like to say this, that each one of you who comes to this church regularly, or members of this church, is not by chance. All of you come from different walks. You have different thinking and ideas. And I believe that God moved you to come to this church. Some of you don't want to come, don't feel like coming, but because the why wants to come, so can we help better follow the why? Very good. So God sometimes can use this way. Sometimes because others who are comes here, and then you like the person, and then you come. The important thing that you came. And I believe that God has brought you together from different walk, different habits. Some of the habits we don't like the habits of another person, yet we still come together, we remain here. And if God is, and you believe that, and I believe with all my heart, that is why is it that you don't go to the other church, don't go to church B or C or D, but you come to church A? I believe that God has led you here. God has led others to the other churches, but God has led you particularly to this particular church for a purpose. And that purpose, of course, to carry out his will. For every local church, there is a program, a plan, and a purpose. then we have to work together. Right, so let's look very quickly at some churches. First of all, God says that we must have this local church. God says there, the book of Hebrews says that you should not forsake the assembling of yourselves. Here again is the idea of a local church, that we must come, we have to come together. And once you come, you must remain faithful here. You should never think of leaving the church and go to another church unless you are very clear in your mind. You're very sure that God wants you to go to that church. In other words, either God has not made a mistake in bringing you here. That means your coming here is not in accordance to the will of God. Having said that, please, let us not always use the name of God in vain. Because God has, since pastors say like that, since I, Pastor Koo, say like that, I better... Then next time I go to that church, because God in the first place did not send me here. I'm supposed to be go to the other church. You better don't use the name of God in vain. So in other words, in this kind of thing, you better examine yourselves. Because sometimes when you come to this church and everyone asks, when you're happy here, well, I love this church and God sent me church. Thank God that He sent me this church. All right. Then one day you go to that church. Why? Well, I think God wants me to come to this church. You say two times like that, differently. So in other words, what you're saying, you never realize it. Actually, God made a mistake in sending me to the church number one. And now God sent me to church number two. In no time, you go to church number three. Every time God made a mistake and use the name of God in vain, this is dangerous. So let us remember, don't use God's name in vain. While we don't see God, He is still living, He's alive, He's thinking, He's looking at us, He knows what we are doing. And so let us not use His name in vain. He has His word, let us read His word carefully. And I believe with all my heart that God has sent, when whatever church you are in and you've been there, God has put you there, and by through thick and thin, you have to gel together and carry out the work of God. And He has given us enough of His teaching here to teach us how we can live together in harmony to carry out His work. How wonderful it is. And so this is it. It's a great work. And so when we do that, God is greatly honored. The next thing is, God wants you and I to grow. We must grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in our spiritual life. That is why God, in this epistle also we have, God gave, He says here, God gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, and then some teachers, some preachers. Also in the book of Ephesians, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4. And God gave all these apostles, prophets, messengers. I will call apostles today. In today's context, I will call them missionaries. The prophets, those who preach the word of God. Teach the word of God. And so you have pastors who look after, teachers, evangelists. Because God gave this to the church. So you in the church here, you have people who have all these gifts. And God wants every Christian to grow. And grow. How do they grow? Join a local church where God has given to that local church these people. God has enabled them, given them these spiritual gifts. So God wants us to grow spiritually and in the knowledge of Him. This is very important. So it does not mean that once a person becomes a Christian and you are in a universal church, you say that I'm in the church, in the universal church, and therefore it's only for me. I just come to church, only to a local church. I don't want to be a member. What's that to be a member? Tell me whether in the word of God there's I must be a member of local church. I've already shown you, you have to be here. And then I can live my life, and just after that I can go off and then live my own life. Anyway, when Christ comes, I'll be resurrected. And then all be taken up. Alright? So sometimes Christians believe it's wrong. God wants us to grow spiritually in the knowledge of Him. And the best way to know is to come to the church where God has equipped the church, given the church these people. And only in the church that we begin to grow, we begin to understand one another. When we come together, as I earlier said, there's bound to be strife, there's bound to be conflicts. And it is through this way we grow. The best analogy is in the family. Husband and wife, first of all, they are boyfriend, girlfriend, they are loving one another, say, and they say things that without you I cannot live and all this type of thing. There's no point in living. And then once they are married, everything okay. And then love is no more. And gone, all went off. And there's conflict, quarrel. You know, maybe after the first 2 years, okay. Then after that, the third year, fourth year, fifth year, wow, full of fighting, quarreling. And if you are a Christian, you will not divorce. And you fight. And through the fighting, through the argument, you learn. You learn about the other person. And you learn. All your rough edges all get chipped off and become smooth. And the rough edges, you see, knock, later on becomes, wow, very nice. That's how you learn. And so with the children. And the children, they learn. They fight one another. They got angry. When your children is disobedient, you call them, you get out of this house. Don't come again. Don't come back. You do that? No. So you live through all the problems. And through that, you learn. It's the same with the church. If you believe that you are in this church because God has sent you here and to carry out His work and to work together with the other Christians, and let us work. And when there's a problem, accept it, because we are all still in your sin, in our sin. In that sense, we are still sinners. Do we not sin? Yes. While we cannot sin, we still sin. And so we must learn how to confess our faults one to another. We know how to must learn how to love one another, forgive one another. At the same time, to work for Christ, to carry out the work of God. So this is the local church. I hope we all understand this. And then when one local church suffers, the rest, one person suffers, the rest also suffer. When one rejoices, everyone rejoices. How wonderful it is if one of us, for example, is sick, very sick, and then many of us go and visit. Of course, then we say, if many of us go and visit, it's very good, there should be. And then when one of us does go out to be with the Lord, oh, what is the best thing to comfort the bereaved family? What is the best thing? Send a card? No. Go there. Your presence there is enough. The whole church go there. On that day, those wake services, and on the day of the funeral, all of us go. Make a point to go. Even someone says, take your leave and go, in order to go in force, because we love the brother. And our brother is now taken up to glory. We want to be there. Oh, that is the best. And the bereaved family, when he sees that, will be much comforted. Do you know that? Can you and I become this church? We can. God wants us to be that kind of a church. A local church. And when you're in trouble, you lose your job, you have no money at all, your family, what do you do? I remember one family decided, he lost his job. He got a top job, he lost his job. And then he decided with a wife to take their two very young, pretty girls. They were living in Thompson Road, up there, in HGDC flat, 10th floor. All of them want to jump down. Do you know? But they did not do it. I believe the Holy Spirit stopped them. That was an indictment against the church. As far as I'm concerned, when he gave the testimony, that was an indictment against the church. How come this man who has lost his job, he cannot share with the members of the church? And what was his trouble? That he find that is that means that the end of his life, none of us can help. That should not be in a church. When a church, someone is in trouble, especially someone in trouble, all the church should come and help. Can you not help any one of you? Let's say somebody is here, got no job, and then there is no money, nothing in the pantry, no food. I hope and I pray that that person will not keep quiet. Or worse still, phone a non-Christian friend and ask a non-Christian friend for help. His friend, but non-Christian. But he can tell the church, I am in need. And we must all, he at least can tell the pastor of the church, we are in need. And all of us will help. Correct? It should be that way. And in no time, I believe that this should be the way. This is the cultus. God has called the local church. We come together to carry out His work. He wants us to grow. At the same time, through this church, through the way this in the local church, when it's an organization, an institution, we learn to care for one another, to love one another, to grow. Because the Christian church, the local church, and the Christian church is a one another church. So I hope that an understanding of the church, universal, the local church, and God's will for us, we will, each one of us, will do our part. Find out prayerfully, what are your talents? What are the gifts God has given us? Everyone has at least one gift, because God has brought you here. And our gifts are going to complement one another in order to carry out His work to the praise and glory of His name. Find out. If you want to find out exactly or sign up, what is your talent and your gifts, maybe you come and talk to me and I can share with you. It will be too long to share from the pulpit. How? It is a very easy way, a natural way, that you can find your gifts. You see, the question is not whether I do not know my gift, or you can find out. The question is not whether I have or not. You have. God says you have. The question is, are you willing? You have time, energy, and all these things. Are you willing or not? The question is commitment. Are you willing or not? And most of the time, we are not willing. So I pray that we all will be willing to give our time and life to the Lord. I pray that some, God may call you also, young men, old men also, or elderly men, older men rather, I will say, should say older men also, may God call you to His vineyard to serve Him full time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. And we pray, Father, that You will take our life. Oh, use us, Lord, for Your glory, for Your honor. Thank You, Father, for this church, for bringing so many of us to be in this church. We pray that we will do all the things that You have commanded us, You have shown us. We pray we will be the church that You want us to be. For Your sake, for Your glory, for Your honor. And grant us all here in this church Your joy, Your happiness. This we pray, we ask You things in Jesus' name. Amen.